on the Reflex Blue Show, Mick Reyes tells you how to be totally awesome. We'll take care of that.
Okay, you want to get that mic 1 to 3 inches from you, and yeah, you want to speak kind of into it at an angle.
Yeah, you can untwist.
Like, I mean, you
want to
get on it.
Yeah, give it a twist, and then give it a tug, and then get it right next to your mouth.
You say that often, don't you?
I knew where he was headed. I'm like,
they finally put the Amy Poehler toy test.
Holler.
The bump it, twist it, pull it.
Nice.
They finally put that up on you on Hulu.
Welcome, Nate.
Welcome, Donovan.
This is the finale of like season one.
Not just like season one, but the actual last episode of season one of the Reflex Blue Show.
Thankfully, we brought somebody, and he's already bailing on us. Steve Ridiculous Gordon is in the house.
Can I throw it out there? I got questions after last show that since you were on two in a row.
People were
like, is Steve becoming the third man regular? And I think you're answering that question today by taking off.
Yeah, actually, I'm squatting on it anytime they allow me to come in. So yes, I'm the foe third man regular.
I'm gonna go ahead and pull a little kid from Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire. Go ahead and go.
All right. Well, hey, we'll see you next season, man.
Bye, Steve.
Right, later,
and
boys. Have a good show.
Thank you, and welcome our proper guest,
hello,
Mig Reyes, back again
in Omaha this time.
That's Mig, M-I-G, like Mig 28, and just putting that out there for people. And you're in Omaha today.
Yes.
And we expect to do an entire show instead of recording a whole show and then losing
cutting
the second half of it. Yeah, Donovan's here to hit the record button. You heard that joke earlier. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, so we might actually have a show then.
Yeah, Donovan, have a seat, man. Pull out that chair. You
okay, hold on. So what are we doing today anyway? What's the big deal?
Okay, well, we...
Now,
there's
Mig,
a lot going on today.
Now, Mig's like a national celebrity now. He's the AIGA Jesus. National Social Media Liaison. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
That's impressive. Now, what does that mean?
That means basically I kind of lead the front on AIGA's voice being on all these social networks like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm kind of the dude that pretty much runs those accounts and on AIGA's behalf. And I kind of got ushered into it. Because
no one over the age of like 30 understands any social media.
Because you're rad.
Some just this kid that started all these groups, and then somebody from AIGA hit me up and was like, "Hey, listen, we see you doing all this stuff for us. You want to just be the actual social media liaison for
you
us?
You want to just do this stuff for us?
You want to do it and get a little more credit for it?" So I was like, "Yeah, that's totally
fine." That's rad. You can put that on your resume.
I'll hit that one up.
Okay, so let's back it up a sec. So there's big things happening. This is our last show of the season. Later today, we will be recording the first show of next season, which will time warp to 3 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from when people can hear this for the first time.
Right.
This is our one-year anniversary plus design benefit weekend.
Yeah, so everyone's in town for our big parties.
Right.
And we're going to record some shows with them, which you guys will hear later. So the party was last weekend by the time you hear this, and it was a great time, we assume.
I guess it was a good time. In fact, I'm sure it was. I'll bet that was the best party ever.
I'm actually still hungover, so.
Yeah. What are you talking about? You're not even going to be there. You're at some other party.
He's going to the pre-party, and he was at the pre-pre-party last night, because we don't throw a party. We throw like three parties.
The night before last. You got to get your time warps right.
Okay.
So the night before the party. Or something.
All right, so let's talk about
this. You were actually here for that. But anyway, so Mig, you've come down. You're hanging out tomorrow. We're going to do this big, exciting project. You're going to be there. You're going to check that out. Hopefully, you're going to talk to people about it.
And you just being in Chicago talking to Mig like a month ago forced us to move into Twitter and actually use our Facebook.
I pretty much heckled Nate into getting a Twitter. He's like, I can't do it. I don't even have an iPhone. Dude.
Well, okay, now I had some misconceptions, but basically, to tell people more about Mig, which I question whether or not I even need to do that, because you know everyone.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I am 22 going on 23.
That is ridiculous. That is completely crazy. Now, the reason, what we're really doing, we're having an All About Mig show, and we talked about doing this show way back when I was in Chicago, back in December. So we're not just doing it because you're here. We'd be doing this show. It was actually going to be actually kind of more appropriate for us to do this show via distance because that's what you're all about. That's your game, bro.
That's how I roll, man.
Yeah.
iChat video. What's up?
Yes. We're all about that. Yeah. But basically, this is our All About MIG segue into, are you a young designer? Do you need to know how to network into this industry, especially now with the economy and job situation being what it is?
Well, networking is a good time to do anytime.
Yeah, via our talk with MIG here.
I mean, Michael Bayroot mentioned that he's gone through, what, 5 or 6 recessions in his career?
Yeah.
So they're going to happen again.
Yeah.
Don't expect
that. Yeah, Duffy
said
the same thing on Design Matters. You should listen to that sometime. Ah! Anyway, so basically this is your, hopefully your guide to how to network as a young designer. That's what we want you to help us put out to our audience.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of young designers listening to the show. Gonna be probably about 1,000 more people that listen to yours just because of how many goddamn people you know. So
Man. It's different for me growing up, growing up with Facebook and, the like as part of who, I am through my education. So I didn't have the opportunity to go through all these like traditional events right away, but I was all about the internet and reading blogs. And
right.
So the one thing I did early on in school was that, I would do my school projects, but I wouldn't do that stuff until like 12 at night or like midnight. What I would be doing is going on all these blogs and like just casually emailing people that I was like, hey, I read your blog and your article. It really resonated with me. I'm going to the AIGA conference. I'd love to meet you sometime. And it was a total shot in the dark for me. I'm like, yeah, right. These famous designers are not going to email me back. But it totally worked. Like, they would be like, oh, MIG, that was so nice. Such a nice note. We should totally have a drink in Denver or wherever.
And you're only 18, so you're like, oh, I got to get a fake ID.
That'd be fantastic. Step one. Be nice to people and send them emails that tell them they're awesome.
Yeah. I think the biggest misconception that young designers and like students have is that, I've got LinkedIn, I've got Facebook, I need to have as many friends as possible, and that's how I'm going to get my job. And I think that's totally wrong. You need to make friends, not connections, because every time I have had some positive feedback or, a job offer through one of these sites, it's not because they had me in the Rolodex. It was because I made, the conscious effort to be their friend and do something for them, not just be
and,
like...
And actually treat them like people.
Right. Because it's the same thing networking in real life as it is online. They're going to be friends, not just a plus one to your LinkedIn.
Right. Hey, rank for me quickly the usefulness of Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and anything else. You probably have new sites that I don't even know about.
Yeah, there's a ton out there, but actually, what I like to look at the Google Analytics on my website and see where most of my hits come from.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, Twitter is like number 3 for me. I get a lot of hits from Twitter, going to my website. But in order, it would go Twitter, then Facebook, then LinkedIn. But in terms of professional work and professional offers or like job requests or what have you, LinkedIn is where I usually.
Really, I was just going to throw it out there that LinkedIn would probably be my third out of that group.
It's third on
Group. Okay.
But you're saying that for a professional audience, for actual job offers, that's better.
Yeah.
Is that because you think it's because when people go to that site, they're thinking work and they're not thinking like
that? Yeah, I mean, they're
Facebook,
already,
they're thinking baby pictures.
They're already in the mindset, listen, this kid's either down to work or he's not. So this is why I'm looking at his LinkedIn. But I have gotten requests on Facebook, like through Facebook messages, just local Chicago design studios would be like, hey, it was cool meeting you. I saw your site. You down for some free work, anytime soon? And so, I mean, it comes through everywhere. I've gotten hit up on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. It's just how you use it.
So that's one part. But you're not special in that regard. A lot of people on Facebook. A lot of people on Twitter.
Yep.
A lot of them not getting tapped by the biggest graphic design organization in the country, perhaps the world. We're not sure. Fact check AIGA.
Are you talking about us? Oh, yeah. AIGA.
No,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No, that
I was... thought because he was on this show. That
right,
would be it.
Right. Well, pretty soon. Pretty soon. So are you doing something different in regards to that, or is this a nice segue for us to talk about other things?
Well, I mean, it's just there's all these people that are like, oh, you have to use Twitter in a specific way to get specific results. And
God, let's talk about that, Jack.
I think it's all crap, actually. And it's like when dads try and figure out what kids are into and they want to try and hop on board. It's like, no, dude, just use it. There isn't a rhyme or a reason. Just, you know, if you want to talk about what you're eating for breakfast, that's fine. I probably won't follow you anymore. But if you want to post links to, you know, stuff that interests you. And I think the biggest thing is like tweeting back and forth to people and retweeting what people say in terms of Twitter. That's what kind of gets dialogue going. And that's what makes, you know, people like, oh.
You know what you're doing now? You're giving your own top 10 ways to use Twitter for self-improvement and networking now. You know, you're becoming one of them, Mig.
It's kind of like the same thing.
Come to the dark side.
The same thing I took from. I just finished Robert Bruner's book.
Oh, you finished it? Okay,
yeah,
read.
Great book. But the thing I took about it the most is, Do You Matter?
Do You Matter? Yes.
The thing I took about it the most is you can fail at stuff and people are okay with it as long as you're trying.
Right.
But
you can fail at Twitter.
But as long as you're authentic, you'll come across well. And I think that's what you're saying. If you're doing it like. If I tell you, well, you need to use your Twitter account this way and you do it that way, you're not being authentic.
Yeah.
Well, and I use my Twitter for, yes, here's what I'm cooking for dinner tonight. And then also to say, here is new comic strip or new show. And it just, I use it in a very like of the moment manner, and that's fine. But like, I'll read like the, like how to tweet for your business. And most of those are terrible. The best one that was from David Cadavy. Go to Cadavy.net.
Or at Cadavy on your Twitter.
Or at Cadavy. And I actually only got one good thing out of there was like build mystery. If you're going to like, don't tell people what the link is. Tell them something mysterious about the link so that they'll want to click
and then,
on
and
it.
Then Rickroll them.
And then Rickroll. Oh, yeah. We almost set something up. Not to talk about us too much, but we very nearly Rickrolled Design Matters.
Oh, there were plans. I was waiting.
There
for
were plans
that,
in the works for that, and
for
we were
that.
Like, now,
next question. Then, are there other sites outside of these Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn that we're talking about that you still worry about? I mean, I get requests like on names. Or
yeah,
I don't know.
There's that's the thing. There's
names
so many of them.
Yeah,
and I think the problem with like I feel like Twitter just now is starting to catch on, and the biggest reason is nobody's friends are on these things right now, so what's the incentive to join them? But there's Plurk, there's Names, there's Tumblr. I think Tumblr right now.
I've heard Tumblr.
It's starting
I know
to
that
gain
one.
Some momentum, but I don't know. The way I handle it is I'll sign up just to check it out because, you know, whatever it takes. Because
you're Mig,
five
that's
seconds
what you
of
do.
My time. But if it doesn't work out, I don't really care.
Yeah, how do you know? So you basically just try them all and see what sticks.
I try them all, and like if it sticks, like my litmus test is if my friends stick with it and, you know, it grows on them, then I'll kind of keep it around. But if no one's on it, I'm not going to use it. And I think that's why Facebook has been such a big thing because everybody's on it.
Because everyone in the whole world. And actually, and I've reached a point on my Facebook where, and sorry in advance to people if this includes you, but I might have to start doing some culling on there because it's out of pocket.
Yeah.
Like, and some people on there, like I've met, you know, if they're doing the site or if they're doing the show and they listen, you want to be friends? Sure. And some of those people are really, really cool people who I'm glad that I've gotten to know. Others are like weird ass people who I don't want to know anymore.
Nate, why do you?
Because their lives scare me.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk about me when I'm right here.
Right, true. Okay. But outside of that, let's...
Well, Donovan, you're actually just on my limited profile, so there's things you can't even see.
It's better off for
all
of us.
So if there were a takeaway, it's, you know, get out there, be yourself online.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing is, like, all my friends and, like, other students will be like, well, what's your secret? Like, how come you're friends with all these people, and why can't I get a job? Well, I mean, it comes down to this. Employers aren't looking for people that have not, I mean, you can have the best book in the world, but if you're not a real person that they can't see themselves working for 8 or more hours in a day, it's not worth it.
That's what I always tell people.
I love that you're 22 and you know that already. Can I say that? Is that condescending?
Thank you.
Is
no,
that condescending of me to say?
No, I appreciate that.
Because most people don't pick that up right away. And that's a huge difference. You know, most students that I talk to are like, they're all about the book.
Yeah.
And most employers, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you've got a book, you can do the work. Great, done.
Mm-hmm. anybody can learn the programs. Anybody right. can be, you know, conditioned into learning design, you know, to an extent. Well,
you
but
forget how close you work to your coworkers. Right. And they're there all the time.
You see them more than your family, you know?
Like, yeah, if Donovan smelled, we wouldn't be doing this show right now. Mig, what's your big secret?
All right, well, I get this question a lot. And
well, other than showering.
Tell people why you get this question.
I brush my teeth and no. basically, before even graduating, I've had the opportunity to work for a lot of different design studios and, you know, freelance. I quit my retail job in college just because I wanted to work.
Where was that at?
What do you mean?
What was your retail job?
Oh, I worked at Circuit City for 3 years. And I was like, listen, this is not going to help me in my design career. So I quit like midway through college. And I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm gonna learn to do freelance on my own. And I'm going to try and hit up companies now. And I think the big
failure is the best learning.
Tool. Right. And I think the big thing is.
Jerk. Anyway.
All these students are like, hey, I'm just a student at this school. I'm looking for a job. Help me out. And I was like, that's not who I am. When I went to employers or like different design studios I admired, I was like, hey, I'm a young designer looking for an opportunity. I think it's how you talk about yourself. Because if you peg yourself down as I'm just some student looking for some job, nobody's going to, you know, want to hire you. There's no passion in that.
Yeah, it's hard to go and be like, can you help me?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my sheepish interview today. I'm not that awesome, but I really like a job. Be like, yeah, okay, yeah, no.
Yeah, and so the way I handled it was I told people, yeah, I'm an up-and-coming designer, and I'm just looking for some opportunities, so let me know if I can help you out. And I think it's just always talking about how what you can do for the employer, you know, these companies, and not, hey, help me, I'm in college, I want my job. And I know it's crossing the line of being
needy.
Try
to pocket that desperation. Right? Try not to put that out. You just take all your desperation, you put it in your pocket, go in, do your interview, then you take it right back out as soon as you get outside.
Now, not all of these pan out.
No, they don't.
What's the biggest thing you've gotten from like one that didn't pan out? Have you learned anything from things that didn't happen?
One thing I learned that was huge was go on more than one interview. Your first interview is not your dream job, or your first job you get may not even be your dream job. You have to do every portfolio review you can because you're going to get torn apart and you're going to hate everything you do, but then you realize that's just their opinion. And that was like the big thing. Every time I went on an interview, I learned something new or different about my work or about me and my presentation skills. And ultimately, that's what I learned it came down to. It wasn't necessarily the work, because employers are going to expect that you don't have the shiniest work that's going to win all these awards. But
Well, your work's not going to fit what they want you to do exactly.
They're looking for people that can be, you know, conditioned into being a good designer and, you know, having a fruitful career, not just a kid who wants a job. And so going on a ton of interviews just made me realize, all right, it's not about this work for this company, but what I can present to them. And so it ended up, like, I used to bring around my big, big portfolio, and that's what kids ask me a lot.
It's a huge, like, table-wide, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how do you show your work? What did you do? And before, I used to have that big, you know, big portfolio and just lay it out and flip through each page and talk about it. But toward the end, like even after school, I just put everything in a keynote with big, you know, big, beautiful photos, had the Apple remote, and just went through my keynote and didn't look at my computer once, but just told the story of my work and who I was.
Right.
And
that's good. I like that.
And when you talk about you and your concepting rather than those projects, it always comes off better.
Check it out. I really wanted to use Garamond on this. Oh, and then I put it in red.
And then I Photoshop filtered and page curled it. It was hot.
Don't talk about
that. Dude, you got a page curl. That's on your
Twitter
right now, right?
Yeah.
Jerk. Sorry, Apple's rocking page curls on the new Safari too.
Okay, sorry.
But
it's coming in, man. You got to get used to it.
At the place I work at now, I stopped and asked them, you know, what was it that, you know, you guys decided to hire me? And my creative director was like, straight up, dude, you had the best presentation skills I've ever seen out of any of the designers that I've interviewed recently. I was like, oh, all right. So it's not necessarily about the work. I mean, obviously, there's a certain level that you want to be at, but it's all in the presentation and the story.
Can I drill down to college level stuff? Did you take a speech class? Did you take, like, debate?
I didn't.
Anything prep you in your life for public speaking?
Yeah, I talked about how I used to work at Circuit City for 3 years. And
Before then,
I was shy as hell. Like, I didn't talk to anybody. But working at Circuit City, oddly enough, forced me to make my people skills. Like, I would straight up have to sell, you know, thousands of dollars of worth of crap. And I couldn't do it if I was, you know, not talking to anybody.
Right.
So I learned all my people skills from my retail job. And I think right there is another point. Like, embrace the job you have right now and see what you can do to turn it into, you know, how you can gain your people skills and whatnot.
Yeah, something wrong with step 3, work at Circuit City.
I want to go back to this interview thing and take it a step before that.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you actually get into all these interviews you went on?
I went to a lot of AIGA events. And
he dresses naughty.
I wear my fancy pants. But things like volunteering, like, people don't realize, or kids don't realize, that just volunteer, that right there shows enough kind of passion that you do give a damn about design and your career. And I met people that way, and, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for an intern spot. You down? But
yeah, that's a great way to get to the top of those kind of lists. Yeah.
Is just, because you're showing you're a real person by volunteering. Another thing was, I went to every possible offered portfolio review through AIGA possible. I went, you know, even twice in a row. And some of the employers were like, why are you here? We interviewed you last time. I was like, I just want the experience, man. But in Denver, I went to the portfolio review. And I just, all those free chances you get, take advantage of them, because they don't always come like that.
And you have to hunt them down a little bit, too. Yeah. They don't always come to you. You have to look for them.
I sat down with you at a little breakfast table. It was me, Debbie Millman, and amazing woman from Debbie Millman's office, who was like her creative director or something. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, number one, what the hell valid opinion am I going to give while sitting amongst these two women? I was like, exactly what you were thinking. But the rest of the time I was thinking, man, this is awesome for Mig. I was like, damn, I wish I could have got this kind of scope of talent looking at my chunk when I was,
dude. And
take that quote out of context, Donovan.
My jaw dropped, because Debbie came to me and she's like, hi, I'm Debbie. We're friends on Facebook. And I was like, I know you.
I had the same, when I met real Michael Beirut, I had the same reaction. Anyway, let's not talk about nerding out in front of designers we idolize.
Like, every time I meet Nate, I'm just like, oh my God, it's Nate Voss.
I know, I got to put up with that shit like all the time.
All right, so I get a lot of questions too on how do you manage your Twitter and your Facebook?
Yeah, because I was asking him that, as I was saying, like, he saw that I was just pulling up the Safari page and going to the Twitter.com.
Yeah.
And he was laughing at me. Because
that's lame.
Yeah.
It is lame. And I think one of the big reasons I think one of the biggest reasons why people don't use Twitter and Facebook is because it's not convenient enough for them, that they have to navigate to a new page, log in, and do all this stuff.
Was this what I was just talking to you about right before we recorded?
Probably.
Okay, let's keep going.
All right, so Donovan and Steve were like, hey, what are you using to check that? Is that mail? And there's this really, really awesome piece of software that just came out called Eventbox. You guys should check it out. Basically, I don't know if you guys can see, but
yeah, you got your laptop. I was looking at this, like, what is this thing?
Yeah, it's one application that hosts all, you log into your Twitter, your Facebook, your Flickr, RSS feeds if you want, and
crazy.
It's all managed through here. So I only have one app open, and I can reply to people, I can tweet from here.
Wow.
It's just,
you can see the entire 36-point empire
internet
from one window.
Life consolidation.
Okay, that's because I was just saying to Donovan, if we could invent this, exactly what I'm looking at now, we would make $1 million.
And what's cool is that you can filter it to
probably
just people
not
you
because
look at.
Because I'm assuming you just downloaded this free.
It's not free, but it's free for like 15 days, but I loved it so much that it was like $12. So I'm like,
okay. Yeah, they're going, that's how you do it. You don't give that out for totally for free. You get people hooked on it in 15 days of crack.
Well, because we got Mr. Social Liaison here.
But now I have to ask, did you have anything to do with this?
Yeah, no, actually, we have a lot of, as I'm live tweeting this show.
That's what I was saying. He's here live tweeting.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
I've already got some questions.
No, do you have anything to do with that app? Or is that just
something
cool?
I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were like, I'm involved in, I made this.
No.
Like,
I'm just involved in using it a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, we can pimp that. All right. Eventbox, send us money. We know you has it. We'll pimp you on our show.
So I've got some messages and replies here from other Twitter followers.
All right.
And Craig Clark, intern from Rule 29, is asking Donovan, where's your random Facebook album cover with the...
It'll be up by the time this show launches.
All right.
But yours has got to be done by Tuesday because that's when we're putting up the gallery on Thursday.
And this show is launching like 2 days after that. So
right.
It'll be up.
So it'll be up by then.
Check the 36-point Facebook page.
And Rob McGuire is asking two questions. How has Twitter impacted you guys and your show and 36-point as a whole? Have you noticed a difference yet?
We can now get questions like this without having to ask people ahead of time.
Yeah, we can get really shitty questions from Rob all the time now. No, we did a Twitter show. But honestly, it's certainly impacted our ability to let people know that we're doing cool things.
And it's given us, since we record these shows and we're not live, so we don't get like call-ins, obviously, it has given us more interaction with the listeners, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sorry for calling your question shitty, Rob.
No.
By the way, this is a swearing show. We should have said that up front.
Well, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Cock, balls.
Earmuffs.
All right. And then the last question from Rob is for you, Nate. Do you prefer to think of your comic strip in segments or as a standalone strip?
This is the 1 point rule. You can see on 36point.com.
Rob, I have no answer for that. It is whatever it needs to be at any given moment. There is no answer to that question. It is what it needs to be, I guess.
It's evolving.
So this is turning into the MIG show and we're his guests. All right, question for you.
That's the power of Twitter right there.
If you want to know...
Turns your life upside down.
Rob, if you want to know how Twitter's changed our show, it's made us the guest and Mig the host.
Let me ask you a question. If you could have a song play every time you walked into a room, what song would that be?
Oh, my God. I would do Don't Stop Believin' by Journey.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
We'll be rocking that on the vinyl as soon as we're done recording.
You're probably too young to be an original Ninja Turtles cartoon fan.
Are you kidding me?
I was going to ask, what were your cartoons growing up? Because you're a
Ninja dude.
Ninja Turtles really.
Was my life, man.
Okay. Eastman and Laird or Archie Comics?
This is why I love pizza so much.
Oh,
that's nice.
You just
we're
answered
some
it.
Of that.
We're old school. We're Mirage ones, not.
Well, no, I was of the generation for both. Return to New York, most epic comic tale ever written. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyway, okay, so you were a Ninja Turtles guy. Let's see.
Huge.
Let's see. I don't know, honestly have. We were thinking, like, we should quiz Mig, but nah.
That's it.
Outside
right.
of those two,
well,
the theme song.
We'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. We're going to have a...
Are we wrapping this up?
We're wrapping this up.
I feel like we need to spend more time with Mig.
We're wrapping this up. We will spend time with Migs. We'll be in touch with him on Facebook. We'll be in touch with him on Twitter.
Yeah, not on LinkedIn though.
No, that's for professionals. We don't want to link with them there.
We are
not
professional.
I guess we're gonna wind down here. We're super thrilled that you came down. We can't wait.
Super stoked to be here, man.
Spend the next 2 days with you. Hope by the time this airs, you're still alive. And
yes.
And now, if people other than these other places they can find you, your website is migreyes.com.
Right.
Migreyes.
How do you spell that for people?
MIGREYES.com.
No one, Perfect. You don't need to tell people that. Everyone already knows. Let's take wagers. Who's going to get more exposure from this show? Mig? For being on our show, or us for having Mig on our
show. Well, he's already taken over the show, so that would be
it's obviously.
You guys are on my show right now, so
that's
we'll see.
True. Okay, well, Mig, you better take us out then.
All right, guys. I got nothing.
Oh, all right. Mig!
Well, this is the Reflex Blue Show with Mig Reyes.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Reflex Blue Show with Mig Reyes, and we'll be back in 2 more weeks. If you have questions or comments, go ahead and send them to migreyes.com, and we will answer them here on the show. Peace out. Thanks for coming, bro. And be back in 2 weeks for season 2. We're looking forward to it.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be crazy. To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.